The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into First Take on this Friday Eve. Thank you for being with us, Dan. The reason Stephen A. likes this shirt is because it's loud, so he can relate. Good morning, Stephen.
Actually, hey, well,
that's
let's go, Molly.
Well, I don't know why you're laughing at that. That was kind of whack.
No, that was funny. That was a great transition.
It looks nice, but the material is slamming. You know what I'm saying? Like
that.
Silk stuff like that. I mean, you do see the blazer here. I mean, let's not get lost in the shuffle. But let's just move on. You see. You know.
All right. Let's do this.
Catch me. I just.
I'm pretty basic today. Blue on blue.
You're usually basic with your outfits. It's just that it's loud and colors. But the actual outfits that you wear, I mean, it's the same. You got the same look every day. It's just a little different color.
Okay, not true. But we don't have time to debate that. Dan, I need your opinion.
He did cut the Elvis top down a little bit.
Hey. You know what I forgot? Speaking of loud and fireworks, Jake Paul's here. You guys are going one-on-one.
I'm looking forward to that.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to that, yeah.
That will be a box office interview, so we're looking forward to that as well. All right, a lot of NFL NBA to get to. We start with the breaking news on this Thursday morning. Could Aaron Rodgers be taking his talents to Mile High? There was much speculation this offseason that Rodgers was interested in Denver as he reportedly spent some of his offseason in nearby Boulder. And now this, the Broncos are hiring Green Bay Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett to be the team's new head coach. Hackett, who worked with quarterbacks at all phases, was scheduled to interview with the Jags today, but the Broncos stepped in Wednesday night to get a deal done to prevent him from going to Jacksonville. It'll be Hackett's first time as a head coach. He replaces Vic Fangio, who was fired this month after going 7-10 this season, the team's fifth consecutive losing season. Mm. Dan, talk to me. What is the better situation for Rodgers? Is it Denver or is it Green Bay?
Oh, it's Green Bay by a mile. It's not even close. I think with this whole situation, Molly, the first thing that people need to understand, and I texted Shefty about this like 15 minutes ago, Aaron cannot just get up and leave Green Bay. This has to be an agreed-upon trade between Green Bay and whoever he may potentially go to. Obviously, Denver at the key point of this conversation. That's step number one. I think the biggest question for Aaron is, does he want to go chase a Super Bowl, or does he want to go chase maybe a different lifestyle and statistics? If Aaron went to Denver, he would play really, really well. He'd put up another great season statistically. I just don't think the likelihood of a Super Bowl there is anywhere close to what it would be in Green Bay. I mean, Green Bay is going to win or be the favorite in that division going into next season again. The NFC does not have any dominant team looking at next year. Tom Brady may not play. Tampa Bay is going to fall off with some of their free agents. You've got the Rams and you've got the 49ers, obviously, that are good teams, really good teams in that conference. But going to Denver is a death sentence. I mean, you're going into the division with a guy that has been in the last four AFC championship games in Patrick Mahomes. You're going into a division that's got Justin Herbert in it. You're going into a conference that's got a guy that is playing this weekend in the AFC championship game in Joe Burrow. You also have going into a conference and a guy where has a quarterback that threw for 400 yards and four touchdowns and lost last weekend in Josh Allen. And then a guy who won the MVP of the league 3 years ago in Lamar Jackson. So I just think the AFC, because of all their young superstar quarterbacks, if you're sitting there in your Aaron Rodgers going, where's the best chance for me to win a Super Bowl? It's not in Denver. It's more than likely in Green Bay. But I don't think it's down to just those two teams either. I think if Aaron doesn't want to play in Green Bay, it's not Denver or nobody.
Well, listen, let me say this to you. I don't disagree with you on that. I definitely think that when you look at Denver, although they've got some talent, Cortland Sutton, Fant at tight end spot, Jerry Jeudy is a wide out. Obviously, Melvin Gordon was there running the football for them. This kid, Javonte Williams wasn't too shabby as well. And obviously, their defense was definitely respectable. When you look at it from that perspective, if you got Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, I think he'd be in a mix to compete for a Super Bowl championship. I think when you look at Patrick Mahomes having to go up against him, you can't forget about Justin Herbert. We can't just summarily dismiss Derek Carr. Obviously, you look at Lamar Jackson in the AFC North with the Baltimore Ravens, Joe Burrow with Cincinnati, you know, there's a lot to do. And obviously the road to prosperity seems to be considerably easier through the NFC for Aaron Rodgers than it would be through the AFC. So if he were to elect to go to Denver, on one hand, you have to respect that. But before I go to my next point, just want to apologize to the producers. I'm supposed to tease the show a little better than that, which I usually do because I was supposed to mention Jake Paul in the tease. I just forgot, y'all, because of the subject that I'm about to bring up. Dan Orlovsky didn't bring this up, and you are on top of your game. I'm not faulting you for it. I've listened to Damian Woody. I listened to Bart Scott and everybody else. I don't even give a damn about this subject right now. Dan Orlovsky, in terms of the Denver Broncos angle. I can honestly tell you right now, all joking aside, I'm pretty pissed off. And I'm going to tell you why. Nathaniel Hackett, No disrespect to him, offensive coordinator in Buffalo for 2 years, offensive coordinator in Jacksonville when they went to the AFC Championship game. That's the last time they made a playoff appearance. And you can put Dan Orlovsky up on the screen because I want to see him when I'm saying this. And, of course, they've been in Green Bay the last several years. I understand John Elway if he's hiring this guy because that's going to get me Aaron Rodgers. I get all of that. Let me tell you what bothers me that everybody forgot to bring up. Is Nathaniel Hackett calling plays in Green Bay? He's not calling plays as far as I remember Dan Orlovsky. Am I correct in saying that? Because you would know better than me. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, Matt LaFleur is calling plays, but I think Hackett has a big kind of say in how they design their
Fair
game
enough.
Plan.
Yep. Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, who else has had that?
I believe that
guy is Eric Bieniemy, who's been to 4 straight AFC championship games, back-to-back Super Bowls, with a Super Bowl championship. And this man doesn't have a head coaching job. And in some cases, he hasn't even been interviewed. So Nathaniel Hackett, okay, because if Aaron Rodgers goes to Denver, a legitimate argument can be made, a very profound argument. And I know the Jacksonville Jaguars was interviewing Nathaniel Hackett, and I understand what Adam Schefter said, the ultimate guru. We know he's right on the money with it. You know, they didn't want him to go to Jacksonville. They wanted him to come to Denver. But I surmise, they believe it exponentially improves their chances of getting Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
If they were to hire Hackett. That's jacked up, bro. When you consider a guy like Eric Bieniemy that's been to 4 straight conference championship games, back-to-back Super Bowls, and you can't get a job. And I hate this for Nathaniel Hackett because, ladies and gentlemen, Nathaniel Hackett has a resume. As a black man that points out these kind of things, this kind of inequities when they take place, I want to make sure Nathaniel Hackett knows this is nothing against him. He has a resume, ladies and gentlemen. You work in Buffalo, you work in Jacksonville, you work in Green Bay, all as an offensive coordinator. You have a resume that says you are a qualified candidate for a head coaching job in the National Football League. This is no knock against him whatsoever. But if Aaron Rodgers ends up going to Denver, essentially Hackett was hired because that's going to get us Aaron Rodgers. And I can't fault John Elway for that either. I can't blame him for that. It's just a damn shame when I see something like this in regards to Eric Bieniemy and his resume. And then you put that up against Nathaniel Hackett's resume because the great Aaron Rodgers hasn't been in a Super Bowl since 2010. And Hackett wasn't even an offensive coordinator in the National Football League at that particular moment in time. He didn't get to Buffalo until 2013. And so for him to end up getting a head coaching job, okay, when he had Aaron Rodgers and him in combination with Matt LaFleur hasn't been able to get you over the hump and you just scored 10 points in an NFC divisional playoff game on your home turf in inclement weather where you were supposed to be at a decided advantage against the San Francisco 49ers team that, oh, by the way, was playing on a short week and had Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback and the special team scored. The defense for Green Bay held you to 6 points and your offense can't generate more than 10 points. And a couple of weeks later, you get a head coaching job. But Eric Bieniemy, with those qualifications, doesn't get the job. I'm telling you right now, as a black man, it is sickening. It is insulting. And it bothers the living hell out of me. It really does.
Stephen, can I ask you a question?
Just sure.
In response, because I think you make a lot of really good points in that kind of your opinion. Is this more you're upset that it's an Eric Bieniemy thing, like the person
yes.
Eric Bieniemy, or because it's the opportunity to get a black coach or a black head coach into the
no.
NFL? Which one is the one that...
It's more Eric Bieniemy because the resumes are comparable. In
right.
other words, Hackett and Green Bay have been to the playoffs. You've had Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback.
Right.
Well, Eric Bieniemy, in truth, has had Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
Even though Hackett plays a big role in formulating the offensive game plan, Matt LaFleur calls the plays. Even though Eric Bieniemy plays a significant role, all right, in most cases, Andy Reid calls the plays.
Good point.
Even though Andy Reid has come on the record and said that Eric Bieniemy calls some plays too. So now it's even Steven, per se, no pun intended, okay? Here's where we are. Well, you can't get to a Super Bowl. I've been to back-to-back Super Bowls. This is my fourth consecutive AFC championship game. You went and lost back-to-back, but before that, you lost divisional playoff games, and you lost the divisional playoff game this time around. So
yeah.
that makes Eric Bieniemy having a better resume, and none of that gets taken into consideration. And if it's because he can't get Aaron Rodgers for you and Nathaniel Hackett can, I can't fault John Elway for that. If
sure.
I had a chance to have Aaron Rodgers instead of Teddy Bridgewater or somebody else, hell yeah, I'm taking it. He's a generational talent. We under transcendent talent. We get all of that. But the resume, Eric Bieniemy has a better one. And the fact is, it doesn't matter today. It really, really, really doesn't. And it's a damn shame. It really is.
Yeah. I don't disagree with really anything that you're saying, and I think you bring up a valid point. I know that Eric Bieniemy has been a part of head coaching interviews and that kind of whole cycle of interviews in the past, I think specifically the past two off seasons, and he hasn't had that opportunity get kind of presented to him. I know he's in the conversation for some interviews right now, but I think you bring up a good point in relation to how does a guy like Nathaniel Hackett, who, again, has a very good resume, but it's probably not as strong as Eric Bieniemy's, get that job? And I guess the point would be if he doesn't get Aaron Rodgers, then it becomes even a little bit more head-scratching.
Yeah, and by the way, last comment, just as an aside.
Yeah.
You know, the Giants just hired a GM.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't
Joe a black
Shane, yeah.
man. That wasn't a black man. I'm not knocking him either.
Yep.
But three, four years ago, Louis Riddick was a finalist for the Giants job.
Right.
A finalist. It came down to him and Gettleman. Mm-hmm. You chose Gettleman, who is trash. 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 And now this time around, Louis Riddick didn't get a call. How you go from a finalist to elevating your profile even more by blessing us with your presence on national television every day, showing your level of football expertise, and then suddenly, 4 years later, when the job opens up again, the finalist that you had, when you had a lower profile, isn't worthy of getting a call this time around? I mean, this stuff is ridiculous. And Dan, let me be very, very clear, because I'm a fair-minded brother.
Sure.
I'm a black man that highlights, the paucity of black coaches and things of that nature. Dan Orlovsky, if it was you, my brother, and you were a finalist for any job 1 year, and the person that they picked ahead of you was trash, and then you didn't get a call a second go round when your profile has elevated even more, I would point that out too. I'm fair, bro. I'm a fair-minded
right.
guy. And unfortunately, the league that we love most as American citizens, what has turned this sport into just a holiday for crying out loud, Super Bowl's like a holiday. I am ashamed of what I am seeing from the NFL. I'm not talking about the league office. I'm talking about these teams have really given us cause to pause when you see some of the shenanigans that's going on in this sport when it comes to their hiring practices. It is really alarming. Troy Vincent has been on the record. He's spoken on the record to the Washington Post and various other publications.
Yeah.
He came on my show the other day. Roger Goodell has spoken about it. The league has said it ain't us, but something
in
needs to be done.
In a sport where it's 70% African-American athletes.
Yeah. Real
yeah,
quick,
go ahead,
I agree, but I do think it is the opportunity for us to praise, applaud, whatever, an organization like the Bears and the Vikings who hired general managers Ryan Poles and then Kwesi
yes.
Adofo Mensah, I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly,
yes.
that are minorities. Hopefully they got their job because they're phenomenal at
yes.
it and deserving,
yeah.
but I do think it's that opportunity to praise that as well because I think you bring up a lot of good
right,
points,
Dan.
Stephen A.
Yeah, absolutely
yeah.
right.
You're absolutely right about that.
And we'll have much more on this subject a bit later and what this means for Aaron Rodgers' future. There are currently 8 head coaching vacancies. But right now, gentlemen, we have some breaking news into First Take this morning. And Stephen A., it involves your quarterback, 2-time Super Bowl champ. Ben Roethlisberger has officially retired after 18 seasons, doing so with a video on his Twitter page. Stephen A., I'll start with you. Iron Man right there.
Thank God.
Oh.
Thank God he's retired. Let me say this. I'm a Steelers fan, so I get to say this. Thank God. I said it the third time. Ben Roethlisberger deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. 3 Super Bowl appearances. 2-time Super Bowl champion. My gratitude for the tremendous job he did for the Steelers over the years. I can't say enough about how I feel about the man. I love Ben Roethlisberger. He should have retired 2 years ago. He should have retired 2 years ago. He couldn't move. And then he hurt his elbow, and I get all of that. And so because you're immobile and your arm was compromised because of the hurt elbow and what have you, the combination of all of those things unfortunately made you a liability. And the only reason we really didn't say, Dan, that he was a liability is because they didn't get a successor. And I'm not looking at Mike Tomlin because Mike Tomlin's the head coach. I'm looking at Kevin Colbert. I'm not saying the man deserves to be unemployed because, for the most part, he's done a good job with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I kind of think there needs to be a new voice in Pittsburgh making decisions. That's how I feel about it. I ain't going to say no names yet because I ain't qualified because I don't know the names that are available as of yet. I got to get that list. But what I'm saying to you is that when I look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, they were stuck with Ben Roethlisberger because the alternative was a Mason Rudolph or a Dwayne Haskins. You never had a successor lined up to really step in and make some noise. So you desperately needed a Ben Roethlisberger who you knew through age and attrition wasn't what he used to be. And unfortunately, Dan, and I would say this to you, you would say this to me, and we've said this about numerous athletes, as great as you are, one of the saddest things to see is someone who sticks around too long. We know that Ben Roethlisberger still had his moments even this season. As putrid as that offense was, as anemic as that offense was, we still know he had his time. I remember one game earlier this year, Ben Roethlisberger was the only one that showed up to play football. He was a warrior out there, and the rest of his team sat down and just wet the bed. And then I get all of that. But in the end, Ben Roethlisberger has pretty much not been Ben Roethlisberger for the last couple of years.
Man.
So thank God.
Dan, can I just say something quickly? So Stephen A.'s visceral reaction for his quarterback is thank God.
Thank God.
Mine, what came to mind for me is nobody was tougher in just the way he extended the play and kept it alive.
Once upon a time.
In his heyday.
Lonnie, thank you.
Yes.
Can we celebrate
watching him?
Can we celebrate?
18 seasons.
You know, Stephen A., it is 10:18. You came on the show and you were like, you're in a bad mood. You are confirming that you are in a bad mood.
I didn't lie.
Can we celebrate? This is what I think about when Big Ben announces his retirement. Hall of Famer. Lock Hall of Famer. And in two ways, kind of was one of the focal points of spearheading a different and a new kind of quarterback in the NFL. These big 6'5", 250-pound guys that are crazy athletic but incredible throwers of the football. The Dante Culpeppers and the Steve McNairs. The new age Josh Allens. You know, these guys that are big monster athletes. And then I think about, you know, the play against the Indianapolis Colts in the playoffs where there's the fumble and he chases down the guy and makes that tackle. I think about the throw to Santonio Holmes in the corner of the end zone against the Arizona Cardinals to win a Super Bowl. I think about a guy that, you know, played through incredible amounts of injuries. I think about a guy who's going to go down into a class of one of the greatest quarterback classes ever in the history of the NFL draft.
Who denied that?
You!
No.
The first thing out of your mouth was thank you.
Thank God
instead of thank you.
No.
The first thing out of your mouth as a Steelers fan, let alone a fan of the NFL, should be thank you, Big Ben.
Why?
You were incredible.
Hold on. Let me ask you this question. You know what's laughable about your position, Dan Orlovsky?
What?
You've been doing nothing but waving pom-poms about Matthew Stafford over the last several weeks because your quarterback can still ball. You see, you're not a Steelers fan. I am. I watch every game the Steelers play,
on my NFL package, I don't miss Steelers game, no matter who they're playing against, okay? Every Steelers game, I know what I've been seeing from Ben Roethlisberger.
But no, and what I'm saying,
but wait a minute. I've been thanking him. I think we did a eulogy right here on this show at the beginning of the season. I said, it's over.
What a celebration.
I said, it's over. I said, thank you, Ben. And I said, thank you for everything you've done. You've been wonderful. We really, really appreciate it. But it's over. I don't give a damn whether you make the playoffs or not. You're not a threat. The offense is anemic. You can't move. You can barely throw. I mean, listen, your elbows, it's not the same. And all I'm saying is, I appreciate everything he's done, and he should be celebrated. But my God, was it time? It was time. And as a Steelers fan, you wasn't celebrating him until the end. See, you're here for the point. I'm saying to you, I've been looking at Ben Roethlisberger all of these years, and I've been celebrating, and I watched the demise week after week after week, man. And I'm just telling you, it's time, because you holding up the progress of the franchise, because they had to make sure they respect you and defer to you because you deserved it. But it held them back. Now we can move forward.
But you could have done that Friday. You're on the show tomorrow at 10 to 12. You could have done that Friday, talked about it was time. But in the moment of announcing a retirement, we can say one of the greatest ever. Like one of the top 10, 15 greatest ever.
Here's my tissue. You just almost made me cry. You know why?
Good.
You know why we couldn't do it tomorrow?
Why?
Because it ain't that relevant tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
Jeez, dude. Oh, you are ruthless.
Listen. Yeah. If it was Tom Brady, we'd be talking about him for a week. Okay. Aaron Rodgers, we can't stop talking about him. You know, with Patrick Mahomes or whatever. Listen. If it's Ben Roethlisberger outside of Pittsburgh. Now, I'm not talking about myself. I'm saying outside of Pittsburgh. You know what everybody's saying? Thanks a lot, man. We respect that guy. I look forward to him going to the Hall of Fame. Thank you.
I disagree.
And they out. Tomorrow, let me tell you, I'm what?
Pittsburgh,
when you going to be at tomorrow?
National.
I promise you. You pick any show you want outside of Pittsburgh or outside of the NFL channel. Pick any show you want, any channel. I promise you, they're going to be talking about Ben Roethlisberger. They're going to be talking about it. Because to us,
it's been over. Weekend. I mean, the timing's a little difficult.
It's over.
Oh, my God.
No one's debating you that it's over, Stephen A.
No one's debating you.
Give the guys flowers.
Jeez.
You want me to send him some? I call 1-800-FLOWERS right now. I'll send him some.
Wow.
Give me his address.
Dan.
I mean, what do you want me to say?
You know what?
What would you spend on it? What would be the price point for the flower display?
I spend about $300.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
About $300.
Yeah.
$300.
I'll remember Big Ben as like a Hall of Famer, one of the best ever.
I'm not gonna celebrate him.
I'm not gonna remember 2018, 2019. I don't care about
that.
We're gonna remember him in his heyday.
Yeah, because you weren't living it every week like I was.
Okay. He watches every game like
twice. Yeah, but I said living it. Like you lived the Giants.
Stop acting
like you don't know Molly. You know.
When Eli retired, I celebrated him.
Excuse me.
I didn't say thank God.
Yeah.
But you know what, Stephen A, I gotta say one thing too. I'm not the Tin Man. I have a heart. So I mean, you gotta know what you're dealing with, man.
You are cold blooded.
I'm not.
Carry on.
I'm not.
Can we get to the guy who took down Aaron Rodgers? All right, Jimmy G and the San Francisco 49ers travel south to face Matthew Stafford.
Thank God. He should be
in the LA Rams at SoFi. You are something special. Really,
so
you are different. At the side of this year's Super Bowl, Stafford is certainly silencing critics who didn't believe he could get it done when the stakes were high after years with the Lions. And OBJ is reminding folks he's still got it, having a resurgence in LA after a lull in his career in Cleveland. Here's Stafford ahead of the NFC Championship Sunday.
I'm excited about this opportunity. I couldn't care less, you know, where we were playing. As long as we got this op, it's just so happens that we're getting to do it at home, which is amazing. You know, we'll take it one game at a time and go from there. But it is nice to not have to hop on an airplane and go travel somewhere. And then obviously going to have a big contingent of Ram fans there that should be a lot of fun.
Odell Jr. has made his mark in L.A. since coming over from Cleveland in Week 10. The 29-year-old receiver has hauled in 6 TDs, more than 400 yards in 10 games, which includes a score in the Rams' win over the Cardinals in the wild card round. Stephen A., who's changing his narrative more? Would you say it's Odell or Matthew Stafford?
I think it's Odell. Matthew Stafford was recognized as a great quarterback who had fourth quarter comeback victories, overtime victories, things of that nature. When he arrived in Los Angeles,
immediate expectation was Super Bowl because he wasn't Jared Goff. Mm-hmm. You knew it was a significant, significant upgrade, and you had a gunslinger at the quarterback position who Dan Orlovsky eloquently explained to us last week when Matthew Stafford, he's like, why do you make those throws? He said, because I can and you can't, okay? Because that's who Matthew Stafford is. The only thing Matthew Stafford had to do was win a playoff game because he was 0-3 in playoff games. No one has ever questioned his talent, ever, ever. We right. saw him being prone to some big mistakes and big moments from time to time, and we lamented that, but we recognize him as a talent, as one of the elite quarterbacks in the game today. You had people wondering if Odell Beckham Jr. was finished. You had people wondering if he was the problem in Cleveland. You know, him not being what he used to be. Him living off of one spectacular catch for the Giants against the Cowboys. Him being that dude that didn't, you know, mingle and really cultivate the kind of relationship he should have cultivated with Baker Mayfield. He was the problem in Cleveland. Baker Mayfield was a better looking quarterback without Odell Beckham Jr. That's what people were saying. This brother gets out of Cleveland. He's in La La with Matthew Stafford throwing in the football. He is clearly not the number one option. It is clearly Cooper Kupp, who's a bad brother from another mother. And the bottom line is, you still look at Odell Beckham Jr. going like this. He's making big plays. He's being productive. He's all about team. He's prioritized winning. Everything you said about him in Cleveland is the polar opposite of what we have seen from him in Los Angeles. That is undeniable. And because of it, I'm telling you, that is the biggest storyline. We listen, not me, because I knew better, because I know him, I know his family, and I knew what the hell was going on. But that brother got a bad rap. He was disrespected. He was maligned. And damn it, to some degree, he was lied about. And he is the one that is correcting all of this, and he's doing it with his play. His narrative is the biggest change, bigger than Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, it's Matthew Stafford, and I don't really think it's close. Let me be clear, I do not believe the Rams would be in the NFC title game if not for Odell Beckham Jr. Odell has been a godsend for that team, and I give him credit for that. This starts with the fact that Matthew Stafford was the number one pick in the NFL draft. 13 years ago, when you're number one pick, the expectations are that you are going to flip a franchise and win a Super Bowl. That obviously did not happen in Detroit. You know, Matthew Stafford is 12th in the history of the NFL in passing yards, 12th. By next season, which I'm assuming he is going to play in, he will be in the top 10. Everybody ahead of him, everyone ahead of him is in the Hall of Fame outside of Phillip Rivers, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, and Eli Manning. Aaron Rodgers is in. Okay, Aaron Rodgers is in the Hall of Fame. So everybody else ahead of him is a Hall of Fame quarterback. I think Eli Manning is a lock for the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. So now Phillip Rivers and Matt Ryan are the only guys that are ahead of him that aren't in the Hall of Fame. Matthew Stafford's 12th in the NFL in history of touchdown passes. The only guys ahead of him are Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning, and Aaron Rodgers. Two of those threes are lock for the Hall of Fame. We're talking about a guy that right now is in the middle of literally changing the narrative between being a number one pick bust and entering the conversation of being a Hall of Fame quarterback. His statistics put him there. The only thing that has held him back from being in that conversation is playoff wins and championships. And if he plays the next two games like he has the last two games, the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl, and he will be in the Hall of Fame. He's going to end up his career as a top 10 passer in yards and touchdowns. And if he has the Super Bowl attached to it, he becomes a Super Bowl or a Hall of Fame winning Super Bowl quarterback. Stephen A., there are seven quarterbacks in the history of the NFL that went number one and won a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. If he does it, he would be one of eight. If he doesn't, he's just going to be another really, 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 really good quarterback.
Let me say this. This is why I respectfully disagree with you. Your point is significantly more valid if we're asking this question after the Super Bowl and the Rams are Super Bowl champions. Right now, while we're in the playoffs, particularly with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady both gone, and them not being an opponent that Matthew Stafford is going up against, I think the narrative about Odell Beckham Jr. is more profound. You have a point if we're talking about, okay, they're the Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
Particularly if he had beaten, or even if he was going up against Brady and Aaron Rodgers, even though he just took out Brady. Okay, Brady came back in the second half after a 27-3 deficit, but that's neither here nor there. The point that I'm trying to make is that your point, the whole thing, the whole question is in your favor. That answer to this question is totally in your favor if we sit here 2-3 weeks from now and the Los Angeles Rams are the Super Bowl champions. But while we're in the throes of this, right now, the narrative on Odell Beckham Jr. is bigger.
Yeah, but Dan, no one said Matthew Stafford was done and nobody assassinated his character. With Odell Beckham Jr., both of those things happened.
That's probably a fair point. Off the field, there's been a much larger conversation about OBJ and, you know, his impact on a football team off of the field rather than on the field. But I think the conversation around Matthew Stafford has always been a stat patter, a guy that couldn't win the big game, the number one pick that went to the Lions, and he wasn't good enough to flip the franchise. You know, he didn't accomplish the goal that they had chosen him for. So I think that, like, when quarterbacks win Super Bowls, we talk about Aaron Rodgers and say, hey, if Aaron Rodgers wins the second one, does it change his legacy? We can't say yes about that and then not about Matthew Stafford finally winning one.
Right. Here's the bigger problem with this subject. When I was talking, your facial expression alone said, damn, he got me. He's right. And then when it came to Molly, Molly basically took my point to come back at you and ask you that question instead of saying, you know what, Dan, Steve is right. Because he brought up these points, and he makes a good point. Neither one of you said that. And so, I mean,
your
I just want to
so
say, I just
want to
say,
no one could follow it.
I just want
to
say that.
Mine was to the point, and I added the assassinating the character.
I'm just saying, all you have to do is say,
no,
you can start it off by saying Stephen A. Wright.
You need your argument and made it stronger. Good try.
She could have started it off by saying Stephen A.'s right. She could have done that.
You need some affirmation and confirmation.
You should have said I was right, Dan. You should have said I was right.
I will say that your point about the timing of the conversation is, I agree with that. It is. That's. I hate when you're right, but it's.
Say it.
It's bound to happen once a year.
Say it with your chest.
You were
okay.
right, Stephen
Stick
A.
Stick it out and say you were right.
I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Okay. Okay.
It's the first time you've been right all year with me.
Oh, please.
You know what? It's 10:32 and Stephen A. needs to be put in check. So
he's
I'm bringing out the big guns. Don't worry, Dan. Don't worry. Wait for it.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast.
Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. For the first time ever, we might live in a world where the GOAT Tom Brady is not gracing our screen on Sundays after two decades of being spoiled with his greatness. Brady didn't end this season by accomplishing his ultimate goal, but he did end on a high note, leading the league in passing yards and passing TDs at the tender age of 44. He said his goal is to play until he's 45, which he turns this summer. So technically, if he showed up to training camp, he'd make good on his word. But we know he won't be as high on returning if his favorite target isn't there. Here's Rob Gronkowski on his future.
It will factor in a situation. I mean, I personally, you know, he's got to do what he's got to do for himself and his family, no doubt about that. But then for myself, I got to do what I got to do, you know, what's best for myself and see where I'm at. Like, if they're like, Rob, you know, you got to decide right now, right this second, playing next year, I would say no right now. It's 2 days after the season. I'd be like, no, I'm not playing. But if I had an answer right now, it would be no, Mike. In 3 weeks, it may be yes.
On that note, we welcome in two-time Super Bowl champ, Damian Woody, looking clean, ready to go.
My tie's good, man.
Number one, there's nothing
you can come at me about.
Number two, the hair looks good.
Oh, I know, Dan.
The tie is orange, but the stripes on the shirt are yellow. I mean, I'm just saying.
You got to know how to coordinate, man.
Some people know how to coordinate. Got to coordinate. Watch that movie. Hilarious.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I'm saying?
All right. I'm going to start with you here, Stephen A. Who would you rather see run it back, Rodgers or Brady?
Me personally, Rodgers. Brady's a seven-time Super Bowl champion. Mm-hmm. We know who he is. We know what he is. Curiosity, intrigue. That's where Rodgers come in. You don't know what the hell you're going to get. I mean, he's a bad man. From my position, the most talented quarterback I have ever seen. And then he shows up this weekend, and I was heartbroken. I was depressed watching
him
play.
You talking about your bad man?
Yeah, my bad man. He was awful. He was awful. I mean, just as anemic as he's ever been. And I was just like, just pedestrian. I'm like, who is this guy? Who is this guy?
Are you heartbroken about his play? Or
yes,
because you've been so wrong all these years.
No, his play. Listen, it's the only time in my entire career on First Take I ever felt wrong about Aaron Rodgers. No matter what he's done, I don't want to hear it. The brother is so superb, so spectacular. He's such a transcendent talent. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, you can't tell me nothing about this brother. Mm-hmm. I love Aaron Rodgers. Love him. That's why I was so disappointed when he deliberately lied, talking about being immunized, and, you know, and trying to imply he was vaccinated, because I got that much love for the brother. You know what I'm saying? When his own brother tried to talk about him when he was the bachelor, I got on his brother. Shut up. What you talk about your family for? We don't want to hear it. You know, win the damn bachelor thing then if you want to be relevant, okay? Do something. Don't sit up there and talk about your brother Aaron Rodgers like that. When people sit up there and talk about him being arrogant or aloof, I don't want to hear that. Y'all just hate him because the greatness that we've been blessed with seeing from this man all of these years. You're just jealous. I don't want to hear it. And then Saturday night game. Saturday night game. At Lambeau Field. In inclement weather. On your home turf. Against San Francisco at a shortened week. With porn star Jimmy as the quarterback.
Dude.
And he scored 6 points for the entire game. 6 points. And you can't find a way to beat that team, I have never been more disappointed in a performance from Aaron Rodgers in my life. And it's like, I'll get over it. I'll probably call him the bad man again come next regular season. Mm. But I tell you, I ain't going to say that for the postseason. I'm just disappointed. So the intrigue involves him. There's no intrigue with Tom Brady. We know who he is. We know who he is. He can walk away, he can come back, whatever. Tom Brady is Tom Brady. There's no intrigue there. Aaron Rodgers is intrigue. And when it comes to ratings and ultimately revenue in the world of entertainment, television, stuff like that, obviously I would know what I'm talking about. The intrigue is Aaron Rodgers.
Dan?
Yeah, for me, it's Aaron Rodgers as well. I think the reason is twofold for me, Molly. Number one, so I came out of school the same year as Aaron. Aaron and I were drafted in the same class. He was drafted only like 125 spots ahead of me. But we went to a camp in California together called the Elite 11 when it was a little bit in its early stages. And we were there as counselors. And I remember watching Aaron throw. And this is when, you know, ego was no issue for me. And I remember calling my friends from home and saying, this dude is different. Like, I think I could throw it, and this kid is out of this world. And that took a lot for me in that moment to say. Fast forward, I don't know, 17, 18 years now later, and I can't imagine Aaron Rodgers retiring with the same amount of Super Bowl wins at quarterback like guys, Trent Dilfer and Nick Foles and Joe Namath. I can't imagine that. And that's why I want to see him running back. Now, I'll be very clear. I don't think Aaron Rodgers cares. I don't think Aaron Rodgers cares about that. I honestly don't. I think Tom cared about winning championships. Aaron cared about greatness. And I think they both have achieved that. But I struggle with thinking Aaron Rodgers is going to retire or walk away from the game with back-to-back MVP performances and the same amount of championships given the talent that he had as some of those guys that I mentioned. So I would rather see Rodgers run it back and see if he can go chase down a Super Bowl.
Go ahead.
So you want to see? So you want to run it back to see him go to a championship game and lose again? Is that you want to run it back? That he's gonna make all these spectacular throws and make all these spectacular throws in the regular season, only to come out small in the postseason, because that's what Aaron Rodgers does. He comes up small in the postseason. You know, Stephen A. I am upset at you. I'm pissed at you because you talk about greatness. Do you ever get tired of watching LeBron's greatness? Did you ever get tired of watching Michael Jordan's greatness?
No.
Like, that should be celebrated, right? The fact that Tom Brady, at 44 years old, with 7 Super Bowls, led the league in passing yards, touchdowns, basically putting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, even with all the stuff that transpired at the end of the year, putting that team on his back. Came up short against a better team in the Los Angeles Rams. And you want to run it back with a guy that continues to come up small every single year in the postseason? I mean, it's like a broken record right now. It's like a broken record right now when we talk about Aaron Rodgers. He puts up phenomenal stats. He puts up phenomenal stats. He's the MVP. And then when we get to the postseason, what happens, Molly? What happened? What's going on with Aaron Rodgers? Oh, it's Mike McCarthy.
Hold on. What do you attribute that to?
What do I attribute what to?
That he doesn't get it done in the postseason.
Some guys just come up small.
So you're saying like he doesn't have it like a Tom Brady has it to get it done in those clutch moments?
I mean, Molly, what do your eyes tell you right now? He's had home field advantage. Back-to-back years?
Yeah.
Number one seed? In Lambeau Field, couldn't get the job done. I mean, if that's not the definition of coming up small in the postseason, I don't know what
else is.
As much as we talk as much as you pontificate on this show about Aaron Rodgers and how bad Aaron Rodgers is, And we keep coming back to the same discussion about what happened with Aaron Rodgers in the postseason. Why didn't the Green Bay Packers get to the Super Bowl? You want to run, keep running that same story back again?
It's not like Aaron Rodgers has never performed in the postseason.
Thank you.
He's performed in the postseason before. He's performed against Seattle before. He hasn't performed against San Francisco.
I don't even know if my youngest child was born the last time that happened. What are we talking about here?
What?
How long are we talking about? My youngest. Okay. Like, that seemed like eons ago when we talking about this
Dan,
stuff.
Dan, get
what,
in here.
What are we talking about here?
All right, Wood. I love you. You're dead wrong in making the blanket statement that he shows up small in the playoffs. Last year, in the NFC title game, he threw for 350 yards and 3 touchdowns. That is not showing up small. If we are going to make that comment, then you got to tell everybody that you believe that Josh Allen showed up small last week as well because they lost. And no one believes that. 2 years ago against San Francisco, he threw for 350 yards. They got 40 hung on them. Mm-hmm. They lost to a team when their quarterback threw the ball 8 times. That's not a quarterback showing up small. Last year against Tom or 2 years ago against San Francisco, the NFC title game against the Cardinals, they scored like 48 points and 45. Lost.
45.
45 points and lost. Mm-hmm. So we've got to be fair to Aaron Rodgers. I'm not sitting here saying that at the end of the day, if you're going to have the conversation of quarterbacks and championships matter the most, that's your prerogative. But we cannot sit here and assassinate his performance in the playoffs like he's been an absolute no-show.
Exactly.
He lost 3 NFC title games when he threw for 3 touchdowns in each of them in over 300 yards.
Yes, that is absolutely true. Now, there's a couple of appearances, the latest being the most flagrant one. Like I said, I'm devastated. That it's not that he lost, it's that he lost. See, I've looked at losses by the Green Bay Packers in the past, and I'm like, that ain't on Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he did his job.
Correct.
You see what I'm saying? Saturday night, that was one of the rare times, maybe once or twice, that I looked at him and said, he didn't do his job. This is not a good performance.
Right.
This is bad. This is legacy damaging. Okay. That's what it was to me. Saturday night's performance.
Legacy defining.
Legacy damaging. Because he could come back and win next year because he ain't going nowhere.
You finished?
The point is, that's what I was saying.
You finished?
Go ahead.
All right, final word here.
Wait a minute.
No, I'm not. Listen, I'm not here to carry anybody's weight, anybody's water or anything like that.
You could.
You know, I could, but I'm not. I'm not. You and Orlowski carrying all the Aaron Rodgers baggage right now. I'm not going to do that.
No, we're telling the truth.
I'm not doing
that. We're telling the truth.
You do that all the time.
I'm with you.
I'm
with Woody. Baggage-free 2022. I'm with Woody. Come on.
We're telling the truth.